fluid had crept up into his aged throat. "Good eve." Runciter hung up. As owner of the beloved Brethren Moratorium, Herbert Schoenheit von Vogelsang, of course, perpetually came to work before his employees. At this moment, with the chilly, echoing building just beginning to stir, a worried-looking clerical individual with nearly opaque glasses and wearing a tabby fur blazer and pointed yellow shoes waited at the reception counter, a claim check stub in his hand. Obviously, he had shown up to holiday greet a relative. Resurrection Day, the holiday on which half-lifers were publicly honored, lay just around the corner. The rush would soon be beginning.
"Yes, sir," Herbert said to him with an affable smile. "I'll take your stub personally."
"It's an elderly lady," the customer said, "about 80, very small and wizen, my grandmother."
"'Twill only be a moment."
Herbert made his way back to the coal-pack bins to search out number 3054039B. When he located the correct party, he scrutinized the lading report attached. It gave only 15 days of half-life remaining. "Not very much," he reflected. Automatically, he pressed a portable photophazon amplifier into the transparent plastic hull of the casket, tuned it, listened at the proper frequency for indication of cephalic activity. Faintly, from the speaker, a voice said,
"And then Tilly sprained her ankle, and we never thought it'd heal. She was so foolish about it, wanting to start walking immediately."
Satisfied, he unplugged the amplifier and located a union man to perform the actual task of carting 3054039B to the consultation lounge, where the customer would be put in touch with the old lady.
You checked her out, did you?"
the customer asked as he paid the postgrad's due.
"Personally,"
Herbert answered, "functioning perfectly." He kicked a series of switches, then stepped back.
"Happy Resurrection Day, sir."
"Thank you."
The customer seated himself facing the casket, which steamed in its envelope of coal pack. He pressed an earphone against the side of his head and spoke firmly into the microphone.
"Flora, dear, can you hear me? I think I can hear you already. Flora?"
"When I pass," Herbert Schoenheit von Vogelsang said to himself, "I think I'll will my heirs to revive me one day a century. That way I can observe the fate of all mankind." But that meant a rather high maintenance cost to the heirs, and he knew what that meant. Sooner or later they would rebel, have his body taken out of coal pack and, God forbid, buried.
"Peril is barbaric," Herbert muttered aloud, "remnant of the primitive origins of our culture."
"Yes, sir,"
his secretary agreed at her typewriter. In the consultation lounge, several customers now communed with their half-lifer relations in rapt quiet, distributed at intervals, each with his separate casket. It was a tranquil sight, these faithfuls, coming as they did so regularly to pay homage. They brought messages, news of what took place in the outside world. They cheered the gloomy half-lifers in these intervals of cerebral activity. And they paid Herbert Schoenheit von Vogelsang. It was a profitable business operating a moratorium.
"My dad seems a little frail," a young man said, catching Herbert's attention. "I wonder if you could take a moment of your time to check him over. I'd really appreciate it."
"Certainly," Herbert said, accompanying the customer across the lounge to his deceased relative. The lading for this one showed only a few days remaining. That explained the vitiated quality of cerebration. But still, he turned up the gain of the protophazon amplifier, and the voice from the half-lifer became a trifle stronger in the earphone. "He's almost at an end," Herbert thought. It seemed obvious to him that the son did not want to see the lading, did not actually care to know that contact with his dad was diminishing, finally. So Herbert said nothing. He merely walked off, leaving the son to commune. Why tell him that this was probably the last time he would come here? He would find out soon enough in any case. A truck had now appeared at the loading platform at the rear of the moratorium. Two men hopped down from it, wearing familiar pale blue uniforms. Atlas Interplan Van and Storage, Herbert perceived, delivering another half-lifer who had just now passed, or here to pick up one which had expired. Leisurely, he started in that direction to supervise.
At that moment, however, his secretary called to him. "Herr Schoenheit von Vogelsang, sorry to break into you."